जयं विश्वपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौ प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasaya, Bhutale, Srimade, Bhaktivedanta, Swamini, Dinamini. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani, Pracharini, Nurvishesha, Shunyavadi, Paschati, Desha, Tarini. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम पाथाय प्रतिबोधितं भगवदं नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतं अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीप प्रबन्धपारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकवाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदोगावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पाथो वल्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरवर्धनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणधनाजेन्द्रजलागान्धारवीलोल्पल शल्यग्राहवदी कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनि सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तककेशवाम् पराशल्यवजसनोजमलं गीतार्थगन्धोल्कणम् नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिगदा सम्बोधनाभूदिदम् लोकैः सज्जनशल्पदैर्हरः हेबीयमानं मुदा भूयात् भारतपङ्कजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मुखं करोति वा जालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैः साङ्गपदैः क्रमौपनिषदैर्गायन्तीयं समगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्तीयं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द सो This Moksha Sannyasa Yogam, which is this 18th chapter, requires a very large introduction because there are many things what has been spoken in the previous chapters in different ways Krishna, but Krishna brought everything together in the 18th chapter. So yesterday we were talking about this discussion between Kavyakandakanabadi and Maharshi. This is in a book, you can read that, in Morris Friedman's book. This is available, this discussion. So what it was happening was,
Kavikanda Ganapati asked this question to Maharshi about Brahmacharya, Grahastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam. Maharshi spoke about Brahmacharya, Grahastham and Vanaprastham. Didn't say anything about Sannyasam in the beginning. Just kept quiet about it. So, obviously wanted to understand why it is so. Kavikanda Ganapati was a highly learned scholar. Lot of high power memory and studied Shastram at a very early age in life. And highly qualified person he was. But when he met Maharshi, Maharshi hasn't studied any books. Maharshi only had realizations. And obviously, Kavikanda Ganapati, whatever he has studied, he didn't have realizations. So when he saw Maharshi, he offered obeisances and started asking questions about it. When the answers started coming, Kavikanda Ganapati realized that this person doesn't need to study Shastram. He already has it in him, inside. Anyway, the Brahmacharya Ashram and Grahastha Ashramam, right? Normally, in the standard system, when it existed properly, people went through that in a traditional way, through the Brahmacharya Ashram and the Grahastha Ashramam. And today we don't have that, isn't it? There is no Brahmacharya Ashramam. For namesake, we have in different institutions something. Not altogether in a society like that, what it used to be. That Brahmachari life doesn't exist. Similarly, this has all changed now in the last 50, 60, 100 years time. Everything has changed. So Brahmachari and Grahastha Ashramam, from that, one has to mature oneself to come to Vanaprastham and Sannyasam. That is the traditional way. One goes through Brahmachari and Grahastha Ashramam and he matures himself for Vanaprastham and Sannyasam. Right. Vanaprastha Ashramam does not exist now. Visibly, practically doesn't exist. Right? Some people, what they do, having realized the situation, what they did was that at a certain stage in life, they themselves retire from family. They make decision themselves and spend the rest of the time in studying Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and engage in chanting the holy name, or those who are used to practicing meditation, dhyanam, or deity worship, and in this way lives an isolated life from the family. That's how Vanaprastha Ashram has become later. So as far as they are concerned, and actually it is a very beautiful system in the sense that they have come to a stage, the children have gone away in their way, they have started their life, and they know how to look after themselves and carry on with their life. So naturally parents have no more interest in them anymore. And they started feeling themselves that rest of the time now, whatever is left in life, right, instead of engaging in the world to a large extent, withdraw from the world, and instead of pulling out all the information from the world into the head, rest of the time preparing for the departure. This is how Vanaprastha Ashram has become later. Right? So this situation is called Vanaprastham. A person coming to that stage and realizing that there is nothing I have to do in this world. Responsibilities are over, especially with the family and all that. And now this world is concerned, I have seen what it is worth here. So withdrawing from the world, withdrawing from the family, and preparing and setting up their own mind ready for the departure. So if one has come to that stage, it's a beautiful situation then. That person doesn't have to regret about it for what has not happened in the previous times. Ajahn Swamiji mentions there, vananiyam sam bhajaniyam, he says. Then vanam, going to the vanam for bhajana, to withdraw from the world, right? So, an ashramam taken voluntarily for a disciplined devotional life. That is vanaprastham. An ashramam taken voluntarily for a disciplined devotional life. Right? Of course, you don't need a forest for that. But because there is no forest now anyway, most of the forest has been cleared up. And so, but in principle, vanaprastham means that this state of mind, withdrawing from the world, withdrawing from home, and preparing oneself for the eventual departure from here. Sannyasam is not that stage. That's an important point. Vanaprastham is the stage when you withdraw, not in sannyasam stage. Not I remain as a grihastha till sannyasam and one day I take sannyasam and withdraw. No. Vanaprastham stage is the preparation for sannyasam. And unless one has gone through vanaprastham properly, sannyasam will also be very difficult. So, what we are saying all these things is to relate with our present life today in this world, right? So to live in a peaceful state in vanaprastham, one has to live. It is a beautiful life, right? And the life itself is becoming against us in vanaprastham. Why? The body, the mind. Everything is not favorable anymore, right? So at that time, if one develops, this is an important point, right? Normal tendency in us is, because we live through this Brahma, in this world, modern world, we are used to, as soon as we get sick, going to a doctor, going to a pharmacist, or going to a institution to take the treatment, right? And we feel that as you get older, you have to be more dependent on the healthcare systems. Vanaprastham doesn't agree with that. What Vanaprastham is saying to us is, at least at this stage, you develop a habit of not going to them as much as possible. This is the important principle. That means that Vanaprastham principle itself is, in the traditional system, is you go to the forest and then you are forcing yourself, your body, to make it more simple, the life, as simple as possible. Bathing in the, of course, here it is difficult, but in the weather conditions in India, you could bathe in the river or in the temple tanks or somewhere. There is no hot water necessary. It's not too cold either. So even if you bathe in that water, you won't die. You will survive. Only it's just a question of getting practiced, used to it, right? So in that way, bathing like that, and also exposing oneself to the sun as much as possible, and allowing the body itself to wear out. Allowing the body itself to wear out. Let it take its beginning from there itself, right? So, so normal principle is, in our mind what goes through, when we get older we want to become comfortable, isn't it? Vanaprastham is the opposite. Vanaprastham is saying, don't become comfortable in the vanaprastham life, vanaprastham stage, right? And grihasthashramam, that's fine. You could have stayed comfortably. But once you come to vanaprastham, you should not try to become comfortable. Instead, you should try to make it as austere as possible. As possible, right? Because everyone's case is different. I'm saying this according to one's own physical conditions. One should try. That's all I can say about it. Different people have different capacity to deal with it. So according to one's strength, instead of becoming comfortable in vanaprastham, rather one should try to make it more austere in vanaprastham. This is the underlying principle, right? So, In Vanaprastha Ashramam, the body is supposed to shrink. It is supposed to lose its comforts. And naturally, when you don't have comforts, the body will become more austere, right? So, the more you make the body comfortable, your spiritual strength will weaken. That's the way it is. We may not be aware of that. The more we make our body comfortable, and all the time thinking about the body, protecting the body, maintaining the body, and in this way trying to take care of the body 24 hours, if that state comes, internally, on spiritual side, you will become very weak. Right? So, but actually what is expected in Vanaprastham is that you improve your spiritual strength and don't care for the body to the extent what you are caring for in the householder life. In the householder life, right? Because physical power you can't trust. What you can trust is your spiritual strength. On the long run, that is what will protect you. The spiritual strength what you have acquired inside, that is what will take you into a better situation, not the physical strength. So, and this body, having seen its very nature, however nicely you protect this body, one day it will leave you and go, no matter what you do at the end of the day, right? So therefore, to put faith on this body and trying to think that I will survive with a healthy body is a misnomer, or is it an illusion? In Vanaprastham, one does not do that. This is, I'm talking about the system that was existing always, right? So, what we are trying to do is, in Vanaprastha Ashramam, the spiritual strength inside, you keep strengthening it more and more, right? So, and in that way, eventually by the end of Vanaprastha Ashramam, one comes to a stage, a certain type of discipline body, discipline mind, and that is Vanaprastha Ashramam. Vanaprastha Ashram. That means your the food habits have changed, made it simpler and much more pure habits. And similarly, properly prepared food. And all these things are rules related to that, right? Similarly, reducing the quantity of the food. Instead of having three times a day, if one can reduce it as much as possible to the extent, Vanaprastha Ashramam is a time for that. Yeah? So, many people say that standard of Vanaprastha Ashramam, what it used to be there, even that standard is not there in sannyasam today. The standard they kept in the Vanaprastha Ashramam, even that doesn't exist even in sannyasam today. Right? So, that is the main difference. Right? Sannyasam means, what does sannyasam mean? Sannyasam means leaving everything and becoming free once for all. Completely free from everything. Right? Jivan Mukti stage. So, when Kavyakanta Ganapati asked this question, Ravana Maharshi said all these things and then he stopped. So, Kavyakanta Ganapati pushed again and asked Maharshi, what about sannyasam? He said, Kalena Swayameva Bhavishyati. That was his answer. Kalena Swayameva Bhavishyati. He says, just like a fruit, when it is fully ripe, it falls from the tree. When it is fully ripe, it will fall. It won't stay there forever, isn't it? Sannyasam stage is like that. That means if this Brahmachari Grastham Vanaprastham Ashramam were observed or followed properly, naturally that person at the end of Vanaprastha Ashramam, he will be like a ripened fruit, ready to drop. Kalena Swayameva Bhavishyati. And he was saying this, and this is what is referring to that Nigamakalpataror Galidam Bhalam. That is what exactly what that means. Nigamagalpatarur galidam bhalam shukamukhad amrudadrava samyudam. This is exactly what that means, right? means, what that means is, your karmam is finished. Karmam is all over. And if you can say goodbye to karmam, it is still better. Right? In Vanaprastha Ashramam, creates the discipline for sannyasam. It creates the discipline for sannyasam. So therefore, in the traditional mathams, where acharyas are built, what they do is, they have a few brahmacharis or who are living in the ashram and who are serious about spiritual life for the future. They are given assignments in the ashram, like worship of the Shivalingam or Salagramam, and able to stay in a vite nishta, a steadiness in life, right? Otherwise, what will happen if you don't have an engagement? You'll become very lazy and you'll become useless. That also should not happen, right? Just because you have taken sannyasam initiation, that doesn't mean that you're going to get liberated, right? So that is a misunderstanding. So kashayam, that the saffron clothes and dandam, all that, that is only an external symbol. That's all it is, right? What I'm saying is that there is no shortcut in all these things. You have to mature yourself in the proper way, right? And all of us have got a body with us, right, to live with. And making this body gradually to mature itself, making it pakvam. Pakvam means to make it what do you call that? Pakvam. Pakvam means the body becomes suitable for that process, situation. Yeah. And in this way, training this body all through the life is what is called spiritual life. Ideally. Ideal spiritual life is right from the beginning of our life in this world, we have to keep training this body for austerity, penances, and execution of a simple lifestyle. I mean, able to take all kinds of, able to deal with all kinds of situations. In other words, rather than simply caring for the body, training the body and the mind to accept austerities in life. That is proper spiritual life. It's always like that. Whether you're a brahmachari or a grahastha or a in grahastha, there is a little bit of concessions are there, but otherwise for brahmachari, grahastham, and in vanaprastham, basic principle is to train the body and the mind to deal with all austere situations, austerities, right? So if you had done this from brahmachari ashram onwards, if you kept training this body in that way, keep on training and training, then at the old age, when you get to the old age, you'll be like a flower. You'll flower very well, in the sense that because of that training, you won't feel any struggle at the vanaprastham or in the sannyasa ashram. Your vanaprastham will be smooth and sannyasam will be perfect, if it is done from the brahmachari days, right? So, but every one of us in this world today have come to spiritual life at a very later date. It's not. We have become conscious of a spiritual life itself is at the age of 50 and 6, 50, 55. We didn't get conscious of it at the right time in life. Most of the people in this world are in that situation, right? So, it so happened like that due to prarabdham and various reasons that the awareness of spiritual life, proper spiritual life, has come to us in a very later date in life, right? Even then, as much as possible, even though it is at a later date this has happened, one should still try as much as possible to the extent that we, in order to do good for ourselves, and we should follow this process, what has been done in the past. Yeah. Okay, if we had that good fortune of going through that system properly as a brahmachari and a proper grahastha life, then it would have been a lot easier. But unfortunately, it didn't happen for most of the people. So what they're saying is that even then, at least during the Vanaprastha Ashramam, if one does not allow, simply go run off looking after the body, it will be still better. I'm not saying that you have to give up all the medicines and doctors and all that. That's not what it meant. As much as possible, not to feel dependent on the facilities that's available in this world. They give this example for that. Right? You can go to a pharmacist and buy medicine, isn't it? You can also get a prescription from the doctor. You go to your pharmacist and pharmacist tells you that, oh, I'll give you this medicine, you try this, this might work. That's how the pharmacist will tell you. Right? But pharmacist also won't guarantee you, will tell you what he wants, what he is giving to you. Yeah? And you also don't have 100% faith in that when you buy from the pharmacist, right? But when the doctor tells you, he says, he gives you the prescription, you feel the doctor has told me, so you will trust that more than what the pharmacist is saying. It's quite understandable, isn't it? So similarly, Shastram says certain things to us. Yeah? And instead of following Shastram, suddenly attending a yoga course or a meditation course and things like that, or you read a book and then doing something what you think is proper, you felt in your mind that this is the thing to do. That is like this pharmacy treatment. People do all these things because nobody has time nowadays, isn't it? Everybody is very busy. So generally what people do is they will keep on, suddenly they see a course or a seminar, and these institutions also keep saying, come for this course, come for, because you don't have time, we also don't have time. So you come, and people go and take these courses, right? So that is why Krishna said that if you don't accept the authority of the Shastram, then your spiritual life won't go very well. You know that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 16th chapter, Krishna says this, Tasmal Shastram Pramanante Karya Karya Vyavasthito, he says. Remember that? Yeah. Tasmal Shastram Pramanante Karya Karya Vyavasthito, 16:24. Yatva Shastra Vidhanoktam Karma Kartumi Harhasi. Krishna has given you a very blunt statement there. Krishna is saying, one should therefore understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulation of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he may gradually be elevated. Tasmal Shastram Pramanande Karya Karya Vyavasthito Yatva Shastra Vidhanoktam Karma Kartam Iharhasi. That's what Krishna says about that. Yeah. So, what is Shastram? Shastram is this, that rishis, after they have experimented with all these things, tested all these things in their life, and they have experienced it, and they are given us this prescription, and that is Shastra. Like the doctor gives a prescription, in the same way, the prescription that's given by the rishis, after they have tested, experimented with it, and their conclusions on that, and that is Shastra. Right? And they are not expecting anything from us for that. Right? You know, they put this all together in the form of Shastram, that therefore, because they wanted others should benefit from that, right? So one should know this, and based on Shastram, what the Shastram says, understanding that, the authority of the Shastram, and with the intention that we should do good to ourselves, with that mood, we should take things from the Shastram, right? For example, that people have all kinds of strange thinking in their mind about everything in spiritual life, right? So some people say that we are following Bhakti Margam. We don't need to read all the Shastram and all for what? I'm just taking surrender into Krishna. I've been told like that. But actually Bhakti means, if you listen to Shastram, that is Bhakti. Not what you do what according to your whims. That's not Bhakti. Bhakti means listening to Shastram. That itself is Bhakti. That itself is Bhakti. Right? Because some people, when they take to Bhakti Yogam, they say that we have a lot of faith in Krishna. And we are following the Bhakti process. We don't need to read all the Shastram, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and all that. And we will just follow the Bhakti process and do what we feel is helping us in our spiritual life, right? So, but actually Bhakti means, if you listen to Shastram, that is Bhakti. And this is why Krishna said this in the Bhagavad Gita in another way. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajadam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogantam yena mam upayandide, he says there. Is it not? So why did he say like that? Because he's saying there that in them, such people, their buddhi will be in the right place. That means proper conclusions will come through their buddhi. That's what that verse is saying. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajadam priti purvagam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayandite. That buddhi yogam will work for them. In other words, buddhi everybody has got. But in our buddhi, we should get the right intelligence to make the right decision, isn't it? Otherwise, what's the use of buddhi? Suppose my buddhi is making all wrong decisions. Buddhi makes the decisions. If buddhi is making all wrong decisions, what's the use of this buddhi? So, in order that the buddhi to make the right decision, dadami buddhi yogantam yenama upayandide, right? So, therefore, it is important to understand Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. It is important, right? And all the great Mahalpas, they have taken the effort to study this Vedic literature, right? Not on a sentimental level, they continued their spiritual life. A lot of people do like that. On a sentimental level, they say, oh, I don't want to hear any Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. I don't need to study anything. I'll do what I feel comfortable with. And they have some strange understanding about it. That is because of, that's what it's talking about, right? So, because people who have studied the Shastram, the power of the knowledge will be in their actions also. The strength of that knowledge inside will come through their actions, right? Even Mirabai says this. Mirabai, people think that Mirabai was writing all those songs out of sentiments. A lot of people are misunderstanding. But somebody asked Mirabai about this. Mirabai said, whenever I get time, I study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, she said. Mirabai said this. Even I have time, I study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. So, and it is from her knowledge which has developed into bhakti later. All those songs has come from her. Right? Not that she wrote everything on an emotional platform. This is the important thing. Not an emotional platform. Right? She knew everything what is to be known and then she wrote them. Right? So, those people who will not look at the books and who will not read anything, who will not try to understand anything from the book, what kind of bhakti is that? If they are like this, right? So, some people say, I went into the Kirtan Mela, or I have taken prasadam. I've done my bit. There are people like that, right? And they feel that they have developed bhakti. But that is not acceptable. That's not right. Because Krishna's greatest prasadam is Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. That is Krishna's real prasadam is Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, right? And they will not understand that, because a lot of people think like that. That's why all these kirtanam melas and all that, it is these people who are more inclined towards that. They have no time to read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, but they have time for all kinds of entertaining, and they think that they are in the perfect stage. That is not right. If you don't follow Shastram, and if you don't study Shastram, all your Kirtan Melas and all your Prasadam Mela will all end up in distress at the end. Krishna is not going to accept that. There is a Shastram behind it, and that must be studied first. It should be properly understood. Yeah. And so it is hilarious when you see that happening. That they ignore the Shastram and they think that they can do on their own what they feel, what they like. In other words, they like Kirtan Mela, that is why they patronize that. Yeah. But if you ignore Shastram and do things in your own whims, it is not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Simple as that. Because rishis, that means you are ignoring the Rishi Parampara, you are ignoring the Shastram, you are ignoring Krishna's instructions. Right? And bhakti cannot develop otherwise. So therefore, more orthodox systems, if you look at it, they will read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam on a daily basis. They could also start a Kirtan Mela, but they are not doing that. Instead, they will sit at home and they will read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam on a regular basis at home. And as much they have understood from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam through Shravanam, Mananam, in that way, they will stick to that rather than the what they have. They would not depend on what the society offers on a entertainment basis. So, doctor cannot come and spend the whole day with you looking after one patient. That's not possible, right? Similarly, the same thing with the spiritual master also. It is a substitution for the doctor, and the spiritual master is Shastram. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, in our daily life, on a day-to-day basis, the only thing that will stay with us is Shastram. The spiritual master cannot come and spend all the time with anyone. It's not possible. And just like a doctor cannot spend whole day with you, spiritual master's role is similar, right? So what they have done is that whatever they have to say, it is available in a form suitable for anyone to take it, advantage of it, right? One should learn that and make it practical in one's own life. That is the right way to go, right? There is no other way. So, which way should we live in this world? and how this all develops finally into the Turiya Ashramam, which is another word known as sannyasam. Sannyasam. If you look at when Bhagavad Gita is a very intricate science on this, right? When Krishna spoke about in the second chapter, he mentioned there what will happen to a person when he follows the spiritual path. And Krishna gave what will happen to that person here, yeah? And he calls it as Sthita Prajna. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan ఆత్మన్యేవ ఆత్మనతుష్ట తిదప్రజ్ఞ తదోచ్యదే. దట్ ఇస్ వాట్ విల్ హ్యాపన్. శ్రీ భగవాన్ వాచ ప్రజాహాది యదా కామాన్ సర్వాన్ పార్థ మనోగదాన్ ఆత్మన్యేవ ఆత్మనతుష్ట స్థితప్రజ్ఞ తదోచ్యదే. రైట్. Out of, you take that four lines there, the first two lines is sannyasam. The next two lines is moksha. And this chapter is moksha sannyasam. You can see the connection. Nothing has changed. The message is very clear. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. That is sannyasam. Almanya vatmana tushta siddha prajna tadochyade is moksha. Is moksha. Yeah. So that's all it is, right? So that is the moksha sannyasa yoga. That verse is moksha sannyasa yoga, it is, right? So what he spoke in that second chapter, Krishna is stressing it again in this chapter in more detail. There it was summarized, wasn't it? Second chapter is a summary form. So there the idea, the principle hasn't changed. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. That is sannyasa. If you understand the meaning of that, yeah. And alpanya vatmana sushta siddha prajna tadochyade. That is the moksham state. Moksham state is that, right? So all desires have left you. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan, right? Because all desires and all problems in life, selfishness, everything is because of desires. Everybody is accepting that. Buddha also said, Lord Buddha said the same thing, right? 12 years he stayed in the forest performing his penances, and then he found out the same thing, that the cause of all problems is these desires inside. So therefore he gave up everything, and he realized that the knowledge of the self, Antaryami, and that pure knowledge that I am not this body, I am not this mind, satya jnanam anandam brahmam, and when that knowledge that means the realization that I am that Brahmam, Aham Brahmasmi. When do these two things join together? Desires have gone and the realization has come, Aham Brahmasmi. That is the moksha sannyasam. When desires have gone, you are in the sannyasam stage. When the Aham Brahmasmi realization comes, it's moksha. So moksham is not something, this is another thing. Moksham is not something that after death you're going to have it. Yeah. Although many people take it like that. But nowhere in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Bhagavadam moksham is spoken in that way. What Krishna is saying here, if it has to happen, it has to happen here now. If in this life it has not happened, to think that it will happen after death is just hoping against the hope. It's not going to happen, right? And if you want confirmation on that, Kainopanishad. Kainopanishad, in its second chapter, 5th verse says, Iha cheda vedi adha satyam asti na chediha vedistva mahi vinashti భూదేషు భూదేషు విజిత్య ధీరా ప్రత్యస్మ లోక అమృత భవంతి. ఇది కేనోమనిష ద్వితీయ ఖండం. వాట్ ఇట్ సేస్ ఇస్ దట్ ఇహ చేద వేది అథ సత్యమస్తి. ఇఫ్ వన్ హ్యాస్ రియలైజ్డ్ ఇట్ హియర్ దెన్ దేర్ ఈస్ ట్రూత్. ఇఫ్ హీ హ్యాస్ నాట్ రియలైజ్డ్ ఇట్ హియర్ దెన్ దేర్ ఈస్ గ్రేట్ డిస్ట్రక్షన్. ఆఫ్టర్ దాట్ వాట్ విల్ హ్యాపన్? Nobody knows after death what will happen. Yeah? The wise ones, having realized Brahman, in all beings and having turned away from this world become immortal. This is a famous verse. You will see a lot of places this quote to confirm this. Because Krishna is also saying in the Ekadasha Skandha, the saying, isn't it? Bandho mukta iti vyakhya gunadome navastuda gunasya maya mulatval name moksha na bandhanam. You read further, you'll find Krishna saying this, that if it has to happen, it has to happen here now. If it hasn't happened here, to think that after death something will happen is just a hope, that's all. Just a hope. As I said before, that if the chances of becoming free from the body, if it is going to happen, the symptoms of that will already be there in your life, in our life here. It would have happened. Yeah? So, iha cheda vedhi tata satyamasti na chediha vedhina mahanti vinashti mahato vinashti. He says, if it has not happened here, it's a big loss, it says. And bhudeshu vijitya dhiraha pretyatmas logada loga logan amrutam bhavandi. So that is in the Keno Upanishad. It says that. Yeah. So here that this is Upanishad mantra, it is. Upanishad is saying this, right? So while we are living in this world, here itself, this must be understood. And if it is possible to complete it here in this life, this knowledge and sannyasam, all that, right, then your life is a success, right? Remember when we started Bhagavadam in the second canto, the first time Sukha Brahmarshi told Parikshit, there are two processes of liberation, Sadhyomukti and Kramamukti. Do you remember that? Sadhyomukti and Kramamukti, right? Sadhyomukti is rare though, but Sadhyomukti is, what that means is that when you get to know about the self, yeah, when you get to know about the self, realizing it straight away. That happens rarely though, but it happens to some people, that when they get to hear about the soul from a great Mahatma, due to their power of Metha Shakti and Shravanam, good Shravanam, what happened was that they got to know about their identity as the soul inside, and they realized it straight away, immediately. But that happens in exceptional cases, Sadhyamukti, right? That means while living here, in this body itself, due to their previous life in previous births, and in this life also, due to their good fortune, that they got to meet a Mahatma, and their life was also on a spiritual platform, all through life. And somehow or the other, by Krishna's arrangement, that they realized the truth here itself, when they heard from the Shastra. It happened to them immediately, on the spot it happened. And that's called a Sadhyamukti. It happens to some people like that. And then after that, if you observe their life, you will see that they're already in a liberated state, but they're waiting for the body to go. It happens like that. There are people like that. Yeah? So, that is called the Jivanmukta stage. That means then they are already liberated, but they are still living here, waiting for the Prarabdham to finish. That is called the Jivanmukti. Right? Another name for that is Videha Mukti. In other words, when the body is dropped, they are liberated straight away. Right? So this Sadhyomukti, which is called sometimes as Jivanmukti, sometimes as Videha Mukti, all these names referring to the same thing. That is one situation. The other one, which one? Kramamukti, right? then Krama Mukti is not much different from that, in the sense that Jivan Mukti means self-realization, full realization or full knowledge of the self. That is Jivan Mukti, right? So, once the realization has come, then I am not the body, your connection with the body is completely broken, right? Then you know that the very nature of Atma is liberated state. Atma is always liberated, isn't it? Atma is never bound. It is Jiva who is bound. But once you have lost your Jiva Bhavam or Jiva identity and you have got your Atma Bhavam, then you are in the liberated state, right? So, with this Jivan Mukta stage, these changes, the shift has happened from Jiva state to the Antaryami state. That means you have become one with the Antaryami, therefore you are already in the liberated state, all you have to wait is for the body to go. Right? This Krama Mukti, what we say, is basically Sannyasam stage. Krama Mukti. Let me say what that is, right? Little by little, you are becoming free from the bondage. We are bound, isn't it, in this world with various things. We are bound here. And different knots we have in our life. So many knots. One by one, you are untying the knots with which you are bound here. Right? And so, what is that is binding us to this world? There's a lot of bondages we have. Is it not? So one by one, untying all the knots what we have got to this world, with this world, that is what is this Krama Mukti. Krama Mukti, right? Because all knots you can't untie in one stay, one stretch, right? One by one, you have to do that. And that is what Krishna is talking about. Shanai Shanai Uparamet. In Vedantam, the same process is called Uparamam. Uparamam. Krishna is also saying the same thing. Shanai Shanai Uparamet. So, Shanai Shanai Uparamet means this Kramamukti process. That means Uparadi. Uparadi is the symptom of that. A person, how far he has become free, right? This symptom of that is this Uparati. A person, how far he has become free from this world. You know what I am saying, don't you? We are bound in this world in many, many ways. Yeah, through friends, through society, through our political views, and through family, wife, children, relations. Then through the job, work, what you do, karma. All these are bondages only on your real self. The real self is in bondage because of all these things around us, right? So, and similarly, you're also bound by the bondage from the body. Your bondage from the mind, right? And bondage from other persons, from whom you have bondage in many ways. So, when you become free from all these bondages, different types of bondages, right? And that is called mukti. That is mukti, right? So, Narada Maharshi will say this, you can look into the Bhakti Sutram. Narada Maharshi's Bhakti Sutram. Loga Veda Vyapara Nyasaha. He says, Loga Veda Vyaparam Nyasaha, he says. So, initially, you have used Vedam for in your life. You are using the Vedam, right? And using the Vedam, you have become free from the world, right? And afterwards, you have given up Vedam also. Vedam also doesn't have anything to do with you after that, right? And what is left behind is only the Antaryami or Brahmam. Or your very self, right? So, so that is what he is saying here. That when you have become established in the self at that stage, That means to become aware that the awareness or bodham inside consciousness, right? And that is complete in itself. It doesn't require a gross body, doesn't require a subtle body. It doesn't require all the other bodily extensions. It doesn't require any connection with this world either. It is totally independent, right? And that is Brahma Nirvanam Pratishtha. What Krishna calls it as, that is what calls this liberation. Krishna calls it as, right? And if this state, state of consciousness, Krishna spoke about that in the second chapter, right? At least before death, if you are able to acquire that, Arjuna, he says, you have escaped. Esham sa brahmi siddhi partha. Last word. Nainam partha vimhari. All these verses, one has to keep in the head. Very important they are. Yeah. Esham brahmi siddhi partha. Esham brahmi siddhi partha. Nainam prapya vimuhyati stitvasyam andakalevi brahma nirvana mrchati. He says, yeah, look at the translation, what he says, that is the way of spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered, right? If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God and all spoken in a personal level. That's all. What it means is talking about the liberated state. All it says here is that Brahma Nirvanam Rachari, Brahmam realization, Aham Brahmasmi, in that state you leave this world. Esham Brahmi Siddhi Partha. This is the second chapter, the last word. Brahmi sthiti partha nainam prapya vimuhyadi stitvasyam andhakalevi. Even at least by the time of death. So in other words, by going through all this process, the way it is spoken, brahmachari, grahastham, vanaprastham, and finally sannyasam, at some stage, this is the stage it should be. One should be, right? And Krishna said this to Arjuna in that second chapter, right? Nainam prapya vimukhyadi means what? Then there is no more moham. Moham means all the planning all stopped. No other moham. And nothing will disturb you after that, right? And it is this state what Siddhartha has seen. Buddha's previous name was Siddhartha, wasn't it? So Siddhartha experienced that. And that is what he was talking about while he was leaving this world, this state. So what happened to him was, he understood early itself, this being a king and all is useless. There's nothing much to get out of this. Because it all ends up in distress only. Even if you are a king, you will get distress in life, right? If this state I have not acquired, even if you are a sannyasi, you will be in distress if you have not reached this state. Esham brahmi sthiti partha nainam prapya vimukhyadi stitvasyal andhakalevi brahma nirvanam rachari. That is the situation, right? So, sometimes sannyasis also, they feel depressed at the end in life. Even sannyasis who are taken to sannyasam, right? Why is that? Because they feel that I've done a lot. Some sannyasis feel they have created a lot of institutions and the institution is not going well. So they leave this world with that distress, that the institution I have created is not managed well. And sometimes the disciples will have their own agenda. So the person who started the institution, he will become very depressed. And he feels that I wasted my time. So, and that happens quite often, right? So, at the same time, there are many people who are living a life of based on these principles, what Krishna has spoken, and with proper anushtanam, and proper knowledge, and proper understanding of Vedantam, and all these things. So in sannyasis also, if you look, you will find all these sorts of people. Not that all sannyasis are all liberated and they will all go back. No, that's a misunderstanding. All sannyasis are not liberated. Only in sannyasam, those who have come to this state, what Krishna is talking about, Esham Brahmistadi Partha Nainam Brahmi Vimukhyadi Stitvasyal Andagalevi Brahma Nirvana Murchadi. They are the only ones who are liberated. All others who have done all sorts of things in this world and got stuck with attachment to something or the other, in one way or the other, they are not liberated. They will have to come back again in another body. You see, without knowing the science behind it, we celebrate everyone and anyone who has got sannyasi left this world. We think he has gone back, everybody has gone back. It doesn't go back like this. Because if you say like that, that means you are talking against Shastram then. So in sannyasis also you will find all these kind of people. Some people who are very strict with their anushtanam, knowledge and sadhana, everything, and living a life. But again, it's not guaranteed that they have reached perfect in that. Because you have to get these two things clear. First thing, that Brahmi Siddhi has to come. You have to become free from all moham, illusions. Desires must completely go from inside. That is what the prajahadi yadakaman sarvan partha manogadan. That is sannyasam. So sannyasam becomes perfect only then. Prajahadi yadakaman sarvan partha manogadan. And if you observe among sannyasis, how many of them have come to that stage? There itself you can see there is still a hook there. Prajahadi yadakaman sarvan partha manogadan has not happened. Then Atmanyev Atmana Sushtam Sannyasanadi Gacchati. Then moksham is when you have realized the self, Aham Brahmasmi. It is they who will go back to spiritual realized state. That means they won't come back. That you can say. If these two conditions are met, which one? Prajahadi Yadakaman Sarvan Partha Manogadan, condition one. Then Alpanya Valpana Tushta, that to third and fourth line. Ajirenadi Gachari, they don't come back. These two. Otherwise, among sannyasis, you will find a number of people in different levels of sannyasam. Some of them follow the rules, regulations, and try to become free from desires and try to with proper knowledge and living that life very rigidly, and they will probably go free themselves, right? So it will all be mixed up like this. Even in sannyasis, I'm saying, it will all be mixed up like this, right? So, but if this knowledge is there, then if you have this knowledge, proper knowledge, even if you are not a sannyasi, it doesn't matter. You can still escape from here. It's not that only if you change the clothes and become a sannyasi, you will get liberated. There is not return anywhere. Even in your grihastha ashramam, if this realization comes to you, and if you are perfect in these two cases, prajahadi yadakaman sarvan partha manogadan, alpanyev alpanatushtam, actually, if you have those two realizations, one is sannyasam, other one is moksham. If you are qualified in these two states, even in household life, you can escape. You don't have to come back. That is the way it works. So this is why I am saying that, without consulting Shastram, if you make your own understanding, oh no, he is a sannyasi, he is definitely going to get liberated because he has taken sannyasam. No, it doesn't work. Sannyasis have to come back. Also have to come back. Right? So, if this realization has come, then you have become free. Then you have become free. normally in big sacrifices, yagam, yajnam and all that, what I'm saying this is for, the yajamanin will be there for the yagam, right? So sometimes sitting in the heat in front of the fire, and the body temperature also gets very scratchy, everything, right? So there is a rule that you are not allowed to scratch your body with the hand if you feel scratchy. You're not allowed. So sometimes they will use something else to scratch their body. And that is their subhav. And even this is spoken in the Veda. You see? Spoken in the Veda, right? So, Shadvalam, it is called like that, right? For Sanyani, Sanyasam is like that, right? He has realized it, right? There is nothing else to do. But then, what does he do? He still respects Vedam. He still respects Vedam, right? So, they give the example like this, right? See, there is a policeman here. Policeman says, I don't hate anybody. I don't have any anger towards anybody. And therefore, I won't punish the thief anymore. I won't lock him up, right? So I'm going to open the jail and let him go. Because why should I put him into trouble? He's a policeman. He's in his uniform. And he's saying this, that this thief whom I have locked up, I'm going to let him go. Because I don't want to give trouble to somebody else, right? And if a policeman says like that, is that proper? Obviously not. It's not. Policeman has to do his duty. As long as he's in that uniform, he's a policeman. And the one who has been locked up is a thief. And that is his duty. He has to do that. He has to lock him up, right? Then the answer is, you remove your uniform, right? And after you removed your uniform and you have come out of your responsibility, then you can do what you want, right? But as long as you are in that uniform, you have to follow the rules. Similarly, Varnashrama Dharmam is like that. Yeah? So, Varnashrama Dharmam, if you have come out of that at a stage, right, then you can leave anything. All this Vedam, Shastram, everything you can leave after that, right? and they should be able to live completely free from all bondage. That's what Varnashrama Dharmam is supposed to bring you to that stage. After Vanaprastham and Sannyasam, if you have come to that state, when you have become free from the rules and regulations anymore, then Varnashrama Dharmam, if you give up, Vedam, if you give up, nobody is going to question that, right? So, you can remain free, and that is a process. So, yagam, the sacrifices, there also, yagam and then there is tyagam. Yagam and then there is tyagam, right? Tyagam leads into immortality. Tyage neiva amrutatva manashu. Upanishad says that. Yeah? So, through tyagam, actually, there is no equivalent words for this in English. This is the difficulty. The power that it has its own in Sanskrit, word tyagam, the closest translation you have is sacrifice. Tyaga means to sacrifice. But when you say tyagam in Sanskrit, it more means more than just sacrificing. For example, you may sacrifice something. That's fine. You can sacrifice so many comforts you sacrifice in life, isn't it? You sacrifice the comforts of a nice home or a nice car, that's also sacrifice, right? Or you sacrifice a family life sometimes, or you sacrifice some other comforts in life. That's all called a sacrifice, isn't it? You're sacrificing something. Tyagam doesn't mean exactly like that. Tyagam means that you have not voluntarily sacrificed, it has left you in its own way. That means your attachment to that thing has gone and you are not feeling its necessity anymore in life. If you come to that state of consciousness, that is tyagam. That means not by, you are not having any attraction for that, and you are being put into a situation that you can live in this world without that and you have no attraction for it. That means that inside link has broken. The attachment, what was, because sacrifice people make out of various situations, right? Sometimes you are forced to sacrifice something. Is it not? You are forced to sacrifice something. That is not strictly tyagam. Tyagam means that your attraction for that has gone and it is not bothering you whether it is there or it is not there. It doesn't matter. You come to that state of consciousness. You can live in this world without that, that state of mind, right? So, so tyagam is much more an internal thing, not purely external, right? So, so the power tyagam has got, karmam doesn't have it. These are very important things in spiritual life to understand, that the power tyagam has got, karmam doesn't have. Do you know what that difference means? It means that if you don't tell lies, if you don't tell lies, the power that has got is more than if you tell the truth. Big thing. Suppose you say, I will only speak the truth. And you always speak the truth, right? And situations can happen in life where you cannot speak the truth, right? So, but it is good that you are always speaking the truth. But more important than that is, if you don't tell lies in life, you are more powerful than if you are speaking the truth always. There is a difference, you have to think about it, you will get it, what that means. If you don't tell lies, you are spiritually more powerful than if you speak the truth always. Right? Because in some instances, if you speak the truth, you can get into trouble. Is it not? So many times it happens. Right? There is a story like this. What happened was, there was an ashram there, right? A sannyasi was sitting there. And someone was chasing a cow. And he was chasing the cow to catch the cow and to kill the cow. So the cow sensed that this person is going to kill me. And so cow ran away from somewhere. And it came and he came to this ashram where the sannyasi was sitting. Cow ran straight into the building, ashram building. And the sannyasi sensed the situation. So sannyasi knew he was in a predicament. He didn't know what to do. Within a few minutes, the thief also came, who was trying to get the cow. So he asked the sannyasi, "Have you seen a cow here?" Now, if you say to the sannyasi, strictly speaking, on the basis of speaking the truth, he has to say, the cow has gone inside. It's there. Cow has come and taken shelter. Now, if you say that, sannyasi, say the truth to that thief, what will happen? While ahimsa will happen. The thief will get hold of the cow and he will go and kill the cow. But if you tell the lie to him, "Oh, I have not seen the cow. I don't know anything about it." To save the cow, He could tell the lie and save the cow. This is a very typical situation, I'm saying, that when to speak the truth and when to lie. Right? So what did he do? What did he do at that time? He said, "My eyes hasn't seen anything," he said. That's how he replied. "My eyes hasn't seen any cow," he said. So when he replied like that, this thief thought, "This man is crazy. Nobody answers like this, that my eyes hasn't seen anything." And he went away, and the cow was not. Cow has, he saved the life of the cow, right? This may look like a story, but the principle behind that is that by doing that, the sannyasi has done the right thing. It appeared to the thief as though he is telling a lie. There are so many stories like this in the Upanishads to explain the importance of this message, right? So, Patanjali, in his Yoga Sutram, he talks about Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam, Brahmacharyam, Abhirigraham. So many things he talks about a yogi should have, right? There, he put Ahimsa before Satyam. Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam. That is also. Krishna also followed the same thing in Ekadasi Skandam, if we look at it. Yeah? They gave more importance to Ahimsa than Satyam. Right? So, if it is going to create Himsa, Himsa means violence. Right? Satyam should not be spoken if it is going to create violence. That is the principle. So in order to protect Ahimsa, Satyam is given a second place compared to Ahimsa. Right? So it didn't say that you have to tell lie. It doesn't say that. But Himsa, if Himsa is going to happen, violence is going to happen, then you should not speak the truth. You should not speak the truth. In other words, by more importance is given that if through if violence is going to happen, and due to that, if somebody is going to be in trouble, then saying that you are a truthful person, and if it causes trouble for that person, other person, you shouldn't speak the truth. You know, when Varnashrama Dharma breaks down at the end, it's already broken. It's all breakdown. Krishna is saying, Krishna knew this, that it will happen one day. In Kali Yuga, all these things will happen. So what did he say? He said, it doesn't matter, he said. Ahimsa satyam asteyam arama krodha lobada buddha priyahide vacham dharmoyam sarvavarniya. This is Krishna's words in Ekadasi Skandam. Krishna is saying that ahimsa satyam asteyam akamam akrodham lobham. If you have all these things, dharmoyam krodha lobada buddha priyahide vacham, and while speaking in a pleasing manner to others, this everybody should follow, Krishna says. Dharmoyam sarvavarniya. This is Krishna's words at the end of Varnashrama Dharma, what he has spoken. Right? So, principle is clear. Ahimsa is more important than Satyam. It does not mean that one should tell lies. If you don't tell lies, it's much powerful than speaking the truth. That is the key point there. Or the marmam of dharma. Marma means the central point of dharma. Right? So, tyagam, we are talking about tyagam. Right? from becoming free from everything. That is Tyagam. You are becoming free from everything. That is Tyagam. So sacrifice is not that. Sacrifice, you are forcefully doing it. Something out of necessity or to escape from a situation. Right? So at that time, Arjuna is asking that question. This first verse here. Sanyasasya Mahabaho Tattvam Ichami Vedidam Tyagasya Krishigesha Prithak Keshi Nishudana. This is how Arjuna begins. This first chapter, the 18th chapter. Yeah. He says here that if you look at the Bhashyam, Ajari Swamiji says, Sanyasasya. Sanyasa Shabdhartasya Idi Edad He Mahabaho Tattvam Tasya Bhavaha Yadhalpyam Idi Edad Ichami Vedidam Nyadum Tyagasya Tyaga Shabdhartasya Idi Edad Krishigesha Prithak Idi Edara Vibhagada Keshi Nishudana. So here in life, at some time, this question must come inside. What is that? That this understanding about Tyagam and about Satyam, Ahimsa, these things, the clarity on these things, it's important, right? Only if it is, this understanding is there, only then you can do something proper in this world, right? For example, in every parampara, sampradaya, whether it is Advaita sampradaya, Dvaita sampradaya, Vishuddha Dvaita sampradaya, or Gaudiya sampradaya, or any sampradaya for that matter, in all these sampradayas, there is a system for everything. There is a system developed by the authorities, right? But if you want to use them in your spiritual life, your understanding of things should be correct. That means your power of discrimination, able to understand it properly and how to apply it in life, that skill one must have. In every sampradayam, there are different system things spoken. In every sampradaya, it's there. All sampradayas have the same goal at the end, right? So if you want to use them, you have to have that proper power of discrimination of how to use them in life, right? Suppose this discriminative power inside is not proper, you may not be able to use them properly, right? So that is why Arjuna is asking this question, right? I want to understand the tattvam of sannyasa. What is the sannyasa tattvam? That's what he's saying here, isn't it? He says, sannyasasya mahabaho tattvam ichami vedidam. I want to understand the tattvam of this sannyasa. What is the tattvam, right? And similarly he said there, that tyagasya cha hrishikesha pradakesha nishodana. I also want to understand the tattvam of this Tyagam thing. Tattvam of sannyasam and tattvam of Tyagam, both, right? He said, right? So, at that time, look at Krishna's reply. Now, in that verse, he said that Keshi was a demon. Arjuna calls Krishna as Keshi Nishudana. Keshi was a demon who came to kill Krishna and Krishna killed him. This is at the end of 10th, before, that was the last pastime in Vrindavanam, before he left for Mathura, before Krishna left for Mathura. That's where Keshi was killed, right? And therefore, Arjuna called him as Keshi Nishudana. Tatra tatra nirdishtav sanyasa tyaga shabdo na nirlundhidartho purveshu adhyayeshu atha
അർജുനായ പൃഷ്ഠവതയത്ത നിർണയായ ശ്രീ ഭഗവാൻ പ്രവാച. ഈവൻ
ബിഫോർ കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ അബൌട്ട് സന്യാസം, അബൌട്ട് ത്യാഗം ഇൻ മെനി ചാപ്റ്റേഴ്സ്, ഇൻ ദ ഏർലിയർ ചാപ്റ്റേഴ്സ്, അർജുന ഈസ് സ്റ്റിൽ നോട്ട് ക്ലിയർ. സോ ഹി ആസ്ക് ദിസ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ, ദിസ് വേർഡ്സ്, ഫസ്റ്റ് വേർഡ്സ്. സോ ശ്രീ ഭഗവാൻ വാച, വാട്ട് ഇറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ ആൻസർ?
ഹി സേസ്, കാമ്യാനാം കർമ്മണാം ന്യാസം സന്യാസം കവയോ വിധു സർവകർമ്മഫലത്യാഗം പ്രാഹുസ്ത്യാഗം വിചക്ഷണ.
ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് കൃഷ്ണസ് ആൻസർ. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ദർ ദാറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് കോട്ടിംഗ് ടു ഡിഫറന്റ് തിങ്സ്.
ഹി സേയ്സ് കാമ്യാനാം കർമ്മണാം ന്യാസം സന്യാസം
കവയോ വിധു ഈസ് യൂസിംഗ് ദി അതോറിറ്റി ഓഫ് അതേഴ്സ് റാദർ ദൻ ഹീ ഹിംസെൽഫ് സേയിങ്. കവയോ വിധു ഈ സേയ്സ്
സന്യാസം കാമ്യാനാം കർമ്മണാം ന്യാസം സന്യാസം കവയോ വിധു
ദൻ സർവകർമ്മ ഫലത്യാഗം പ്രാഹുസ്ത്യാഗം വിചക്ഷണ. സോ ഹിയർ യു ക്യാൻ സി കവീസ് ആർ വൺ അതോറിറ്റി ആൻഡ് വിചക്ഷണസ് ആർ അനദർ അതോറിറ്റി. ഫോർ ത്യാഗം കൃഷ്ണ യൂസസ് ദി അതോറിറ്റി ഓഫ് ദി വിചക്ഷണസ്. വി വിൽ സി വാട്ട് വിചക്ഷണ മീൻസ്. സിമിലർലി ഫോർ സന്യാസം കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് യൂസിംഗ് ദി അതോറിറ്റി ഓഫ് കവീസ് കവയോ വിധു. റൈറ്റ്. What comes up inside? Say, in the Krishna's approach is quite different than in the modern world, right? In the modern world, we don't like quoting anybody as authority, is it not? Krishna, although he is above every authority, still he tries to keep authority, quoting the authority. That's what that we have to notice here. Sanyasam kavayo vidu. What sanyasam is, he's saying what kavis have spoken. Kavayo vidu. Right? Just like a doctor says to us, I think it is this what you have got. I think. Then you will also be a little bit doubtful. He thinks like that. Is that what really it is? Yeah. But on the other hand, if he feels that, something came to his head and he said that to you, that I think this is what your problem is, right? And and he says to you, maybe that you have got cancer, go and have this treatment done, and if he let you go. And then you have done a lot of treatment, but it was not cancer. Some places it has happened like that. Some people were told that they have cancer, and then later on they found out they have no cancer. But doctor thought that he has got cancer and gave it like this, right? So this is why it is important when you speak, especially matters related to spiritual life, it has to have some backing from authority. And that's a process Krishna follows. Krishna won't speak anything in a personal way. He will say what others have spoken. It is on the strength of that I am saying this. He will say like that. Right? And it has to come that whatever thoughts, for example, some thoughts comes in, right? If that is not against the Shastram, then he will say that. That, say, some thoughts has come, and if it's not against that, you will say that the knowledge has come from inside. Jnanam has come from inside. otherwise, if you say something, then it could cause problems. It could cause problems. So, this difficulty is always there in spiritual life. Yeah, sometimes people, you know, that's why very good spiritually well balanced and settled people, they won't sit in front and give all answer to all your questions all the time. They don't do that because they know that the person who is hearing it, he won't understand it properly. All he wants is an answer which will agree with his thinking. That's how they are asking the questions, right? He has already decided in his mind what the answer is. What he is doing is, he is asking a question and verifying from you whether you agree with him or not, the person who is asking. You must have noticed this with many people. They will ask questions and they are verifying whether you are agreeing with his conclusions or not. That is not how it should be. So, such instructions given by people, that will not stay in this world for very long, because it may have misunderstood or it may have wrong way spoken about it, right? When their time is over, they will for some more time, their followers will speak about it, and after that it will be lost. That kind of knowledge. Yeah. Sometimes question-answer happens, and that question-answers will not last forever here. One or two generations maximum it will stay. After that it will be forgotten. Right? To make that more clear, Kaviganda Ganapati came to Ramana Maharshi, right? And then he asked these questions to Maharshi, right? So, Kaviganda Ganapati has studied Upanishads well, thoroughly. So he knows the Upanishads' conclusions. And he wanted to know from Maharshi what his answer is on that, right? When he heard everything, what Maharshi has answered is exactly what the Upanishads are saying, then he could understand that that is how he called Ramana. Ramana was his name. He called him Maharshi. Before that, nobody called him Ramana Maharshi. It is Kaviganda Ganapati who started calling him Ramana Maharshi. So, when he asked the questions, and when the answers came from him, even though he has not educated himself in the Upanishads, he didn't go and study the books or anything, but because the realizations were so strong inside, and when he answered, it was all in line with the Upanishads, what Kaviganda Ganapati has studied. Kaviganda Ganapati could immediately understand that he is a Rishi. And this is how he started calling him a Rishi. And others started calling him later, after that. Right? And that is how he was accepted as an authority in spiritual life. Not otherwise. Right? And not because that the experience he had when he was young at home, death experience what he had, or you know, he is known for this inquiry, who am I and all that. It's not because of that he was called a Maharshi. He was called Maharshi only because of this experience with Kaviganda Ganapati had with him. Yeah. So or you can also say that Ramana Maharshi didn't speak much. He kept quiet all the time. Didn't speak at all, right? But then there are so many people in this world who don't talk. A lot of people are there like that. You'll find sometimes like that. They won't talk anything. If you talk for an hour, they will talk to you one or two sentences, very minimum. There are people like that, right? So those things don't make you qualified, right? So similarly, there are people who are writing books about their realizations or whatever they call it, experiences, right? And who have written a lot of books. They're all there in this world, right? And what Kavyakantanapati saw there was that he saw his life, Maharshi's life, an ideal life of a spiritual person spoken in the Upanishads. This is what he was seeing in him. What Upanishads are talking about, a person in a self-realized state, he was noticing that in him. And this is how he accepted them as Pramanam. He accepted him as Pramanam. So, so the thing is that because he was accepted in this way as Shruti Pramanam, as the Pramanam for the Shruti, that means Maharshi was a Pramanam for Shruti. What Shruti was talking about was happening in Maharshi's life, right? Therefore, those who are in the Sampradaya system, they used to go and offer respects to him. There are a lot of subtle things in spiritual life, which only if you keep thinking about it, you will see the beauty of that, yeah? That how far we have not understood many things in spiritual life, right? So, pramanyam. Pramanyam means what? Pramanyam means something accepting as an authority. That's called pramanam, isn't it? So, Maharshi became a pramanam, and other people who are in the process of spiritual life, sampradaya system, they are called sampradaya system. That means you have accepted a particular sampradayam and you are following that sampradayam. So these people who are in the sampradaya system were coming to him and offering respects to him ever since Kavyakanta Ganapati noticed that what was coming from him was all in line with the Upanishads. This is how he came into prominence. Otherwise nobody knew him. He came from a village and then due to his own internal spiritual strength, he came to Thiruvannamalai and he started living there. And then he was very much in a state of awareness of who he is, right? And he knew what he was doing very well, obviously. So, because the Sampradaya people came to him later, and started offering respects to him, and he became an authority. He was accepted as an authority. Yeah? because there are so many people in spiritual field, isn't it, looking for recognition, wanted to be accepted as authority. So people also become very, so learned people, they won't easily accept anyone and everyone as an authority in spiritual life. Learned people, they will be very cautious before accepting someone as an authority in spiritual life. Right? It's not based on how many hits you have in the internet or how many followers you have on the Instagram. Intelligent people don't think like that. Right? In the modern world, that's how it is. They say, how many people are on your Instagram? How many followers have you got Instagram or in the Facebook? Or how many hits have you got? This is our intelligence, right? But in them days, people were a little bit more intelligent. They could think and they will know whom to accept in authority. And they will see that and they will take time, their own time, to evaluate someone in that way, right? So this is the secret of that, yeah? Otherwise, he is not an authority. If you have not passed all these things and in a certain way, that what you are talking is in line with the Shastram. Because how otherwise how will you test a person? Someone is talking all kinds of... So for example, you can say a lot of nice things in this world to please people, is it not? But that doesn't mean that you are an authority in Shastram, is it? You don't become an authority in Shastram. So if you hear, oh, that person is so nice, he's so friendly, and he sings so nicely, and whenever I see him, he is always inquiring about me, about my family, so he must be a nice person. On this basis, if you make your spiritual decisions, you are doomed. You won't get anywhere. That is not how spiritual life is. Spiritual life is based on, it has its own way of evaluating people, right? So, that is why Krishna said here, Kavayo Vidhu. Kavayo Vidhu, he says there. Who is a Kavi? Kavi is another word for Rishi. Kavi is another word for Rishi. All these verses in the Bhagavad Gita is to educate us in spiritual life. How to become intelligent in spiritual life. Not to become stupid, but to become intelligent. And don't, especially in today's world, when there is so much misleading people, with being, everyone is trying to market themselves in spiritual life, isn't it? They're trying to market themselves. And everything has become marketing now. Spiritual marketing, it's called. They want to sell the books, what they have written. No matter how rubbish that is, still it has to be sold. And the more the books are sold, you become more an authority. How can spiritual life be like this? Based on the number of books sold, and number of followers on Instagram, and number of kids on your Facebook and all that. That looks ridiculous, isn't it? This is supposed to be Brahma Vidya, the highest of all the knowledge. And the highest of all the knowledge, if it is marketed like this, where will it end up at the end? What's going to happen? So we have to become more intelligent and able to analyze things, scrutinize it properly, before we accept any of these kind of marketing techniques or become victimized by that. Yeah. So, he says here that Kavi. Kavi means Rishi. Kavi means Rishi, right? This is why you will see Teni Brahma Hrida Adigavaye Mukhyandiyal Suraya. He says Adigavaye Mukhyandiyal Suraya. Right? Valmiki is also Kavi, is Adigavi. Right? And Krishna is also, Lord Brahma also, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adigai. Krishna is also sitting in the heart of Lord Brahma. This is the words on the Bhagavatam. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adigavaye Mukhyandiyal Suraya. Krishna sitting in the heart of Lord Brahma spoke this knowledge. And similarly, if you look into Bhagavatam, sorry, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 8th chapter, ninth verse. Look at Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna says. Kavim Purana Manushasidaram Anorani Amshamanusmaredya Sarvasyadataram Chindyarubam Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parasad. Kavim Purana Manushasidaram. One should, so the word, trying to understand the word Kavi, what Kavi means, right? Kavi in the modern world, when you say Kavi, is generally referred to as poet. Poets are called Kavi, right? Poets are called Kavi. But in spiritual context, Kavi means Rishi, not the poet. That is a kind of a, how do you call it, mistake has happened like that. Yeah, it's a kind of a how do you call it? Sometimes language gets very polluted by some words. Some words in the language, in the Shastram, gets polluted and becomes a misnomer like that. Yeah. Mm. So you can see like the word guru. Now the people use the word guru for everything. Guru is only for spiritual knowledge. Otherwise, what is got to do with the guru, isn't it? So in the same way, Kavim Purana Manasasidharam. Krishna is saying there, right? Anoraniyam Sanismaredya. So, what he is saying here is that Alma or the soul has a name called Kavi. Right? So, in other words, when something comes out from the soul, you will know that it is coming from the self, not coming from the mind. This is only, that's what, it is difficult sometimes, because Krishna is saying this, Kavim Puranam Anishasitaram Anoraniyam Sanusmaredyam Sarvasya Dadaram Achindi Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parasad. One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is inconceivable beyond all material conception, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and he is transcendental beyond this material nature. Now, this statement is coming from the source, Krishna, isn't it? From the source. Krishna is saying this. So, and there, if you need a translation, you see, Kavim means the one who knows everything. So, and who is that? Antaryami inside. So, it's coming from the Antaryami. Having said that, something when it is coming from the Antaryami, or when it is coming from the mind, one has to know that, how to segregate these two things, right? You know, nowadays we have this, ChatGPT, right? So through ChatGPT, you put there Ravana Maharshi, about Ravana Maharshi, ask about Ravana Maharshi. ChatGPT will come back with a reply, a huge article in a very poetical language, everything about Ravana Maharshi, his different books, his different people whom he met, and the conversation he had, everything. You know how, so we think that, so these, does that mean ChatGPT is Kavi? ChatGPT is not Kavi, right? So ChatGPT is able to reply like that only because everything is set it up like that through our, all information is collected from the about Ramana Maharshi, right? So, if you read all that, and if you see all the data, what has been brought out by ChatGPT through that way, right? You will think that this ChatGPT is very realized. You will get an impression like that. ChatGPT is fully realized because with full conviction and in such flowery language, all realizations of Ravana Maharshi is coming through ChatGPT. ChatGPT is able to present it to us, everything what Ramana Maharshi has discussed in many times with many people, and the very higher level of realizations what he has given to the different devotees. This ChatGPT is able to bring it together in a nice way in front of you, right? So, so what will happen is, right, when you read these things, you start thinking that, that why do I have to listen to Atmavidya, knowledge of the self from somebody, when I have got this ChatGPT in front of me, he's able to give me all the answers what I want for, looking for, right? So, today or tomorrow, the way things are going now, right? Whatever is possible through our poetical skill, you know, like the poets write so many things, isn't it? Poetical skill, they call it, like big poets, they wrote, right? All these things, what they can do, probably, what the poets are able to do today, these kind of programs like ChatGPT may be able to do it tomorrow. Who knows? Right? And that is the reason that when you start seeing that, you will start realizing that why Shastram has to come through the Rishis. Right now you won't understand that, because normally people want reply only. They don't inquire about the source, where it's coming from. Yeah. So if you have a program like this, chat GPT or artificial intelligence, whatever it is, yeah, over a period of time, it is quite likely that they may be able to give you all the answers you are asking from them. Yeah. And with that, at that time you won't understand why Rishis and Shastram is necessary. And when Shastram, when it comes through the Rishis, why they are important, rather than coming through these programs, right? So, it is because of this only, you know, this neti neti, not this, not this, not this. And this not this includes ChatGPT as well. ChatGPT also won't be able to talk to you with the realization like the way Kavis have spoken, the Rishis have spoken. That is not possible. Because when Rishis spoke something, whatever they have spoken, in their words, there is something which cannot be created by anyone else. Because of that potency of the Rishi who has spoken that. So, only at that moment you can understand what is spiritual life means. The importance of the Rishi. And when this message about spiritual life comes through the Rishis to you, what difference it makes when it comes through another program like that. Yeah. So, that is why this verse is important, why Krishna has spoken like this, right? The programs may do so many things, but it doesn't have the heart of the Rishis. Program doesn't have the heart of the Rishis, isn't it? So when the Rishi speaks, its effect is different and its authority is different than you taking it from elsewhere. Yeah. Because these programs doesn't have a heart like the Rishis have got. It doesn't have an experience what the Rishis have got. Right? All it has done is it has collected a lot of data together and it presents you in a nice way and you get victimized by that presentation. The importance of spiritual realization coming through the Rishis and coming through other sources, that's what Krishna is talking about here. Kamyanam karmana nyasam sanyasam kavayo vidu. Krishna is saying there, right? Because Kavi means Rishi. If you are not a Rishi, you are not a Kavi. According to Bhagavad Gita. If you are not a Rishi, you are not a Kavi. Right? One who is a Rishi, he is a Kavi. Right? So, those Rishis have spoken like this. What is that? Kamyanam karmanam nyasam sanyasam kavayo vidu. Rishis have spoken like this, Krishna is saying there, right? In other words, one who gives up kamya karma, right? And that is called sannyasam, Krishna says. One who gives up kamya karma, that is called sannyasam, right? Yeah. Now, let's understand that, what that means, right? Rishis knows this well. When you do engage in any karma, right, behind that there is a motive, is it not? Any karma when a person does in this world, behind that there is a motive, right? What do you mean? Either it is a desire that you want a result in a particular way, right? If you do any karma for that matter, if it is done with that desire behind or motive behind, then there is no spirituality in that. You see, any karma, if you do with a motive or a desire behind it, there is no spirituality in that, right? And therefore, if you decide that kamya karma, with fruitive activity or fruitive desires, right, I will not do that. Now, Krishna is saying, not saying that this is not sannyasam, right, but he is saying that this is a fundamental requirement in sannyasam. Kamyanam karmanamyasam is a fundamental requirement in sannyasam. You say, sir. Right? So, if a person is a sannyasi and in him the agam comes, right, he will not do any selfish karma with a selfish motive. Yeah? And this selfishness can be in different forms. It can be for wealth, it can be for name and fame, it can be for followers, it can be for recognition, various things. That could also be very, very subtle inside. And therefore, swartha karma means, if you have any of these desires, that karma is not selfless. It's not selfless, right? Kamya karma means fruitive activity, is kamya karma, right? Kamya karma, Krishna is not rejected. For example, when you are a householder, kamya karma is necessary. You cannot live a householder life without kamya karma, isn't it? And when you are living in this world as a householder, you will have to perform kamya karma. It's unavoidable as a householder, right? But a householder is only told not to do nishiddha karma. Nishiddha karma means that is forbidden by the shastra. But kamya karma is not denied for a householder. Nishiddha karma is the one a householder is supposed to follow, right? Nishiddharma means whatever shastram has prohibited or forbidden, that is what is called Nishiddharma. So Nishiddharma, he won't do it, but Kamyakarma, he is allowed to do it, right? Then there are shastram, Kamyakarma, which is allowed by the shastram. Kamyakarma, that is allowed by the shastram. For example, here he is giving this explanation to that, right? Kamyanam ashwamedhadinam karmanam nyasam parityagam sannyasam sannyasa shabdhartham anushtayatvena praptasya an anushtanam kavaya pandita kejit vidu vijanandi. He is saying here, kings, they used to perform ashwamedham, yagam, in them days, isn't it? So, they perform ashwamedha yagam with a desire to become a higher position. Like, for example, a king wants to become an emperor. For that purpose, they will perform ashwamedham. You can see how many ashwamedham was performed, isn't it? Prajina Barhis did, Prithu did, Parikshit did, Yudhishthira did, Mahabali did. So, everyone has done, in them days that is what it was. They performed yagam, ashwamedha yagam, for their own advancement in their position, right? So, similarly, Dasharatha performed ashwamedham, Dasharatha performed putrakameshti, another yagam, to have children, did he not? And that is how Ramachandra and others were born, right? So, in order to fulfill your desires inside, you perform yajnam, yagam, right? So, so that means desire-oriented action, right? But if a sannyasi does all these things, ashwamedham and yagam and things like that, in order to fulfill that desires, then he is not a sannyasi. He is not a sannyasi. So, you can fulfill your desire, but not causing trouble to anyone else. And that is allowed for kings, allowed for householders, everything, right? But you won't become a sannyasi by being that, doing that. You should not have any desires inside, right? So, sannyasam and this kamya karma won't go side by side, won't go hand in hand, right? So, kamya karma. Kamya karma means that when you engage in karma, behind that, what is happening? This kamya karma tyagam is what Krishna is talking about here, right? Krishna calls that as sannyasam, right? So that is the first thing. Kamya karma tyagam is sannyasam. Kamya karma tyagam is sannyasam. Remember that, yeah? Kamyanam karmanam nyasam is sannyasam. Sannyasi should not have any kamya karma. Then the second part, right? Sarva karma bhala tyagam prahus tyagam vichakshana, right? One who has practiced this first one, kamyanam karmanam nyasam, and that sannyasam, after practicing it, they have learned the secret of that, right? And they are called vichakshanas in the next line. Prahustyagam vichakshana. Vichakshana means one who has practiced this karma, sarva karma nyasam, kamya karma nyasam, and kamyanam karmanam nyasam. One who have practiced that and they have understood the inner secret of that. What does that mean? Inner secret means that when you practice it, at some stage you realize that this karmam is only binding me. I should not get bound by the karmam. That realization has to come from within. And that is how you become gradually from kamya karma, free from kamya karma. In order to become gradually free from kamya karma, you have to perform this kamyanam karmanam nyasam first. After practicing it for some time, you realize that karmam only binds me and kamya karmam is no good for me in order to advance in my spiritual path. And that is what is called realizing the inner secret of that. And those who have realized that inner secret, they are called vichakshanas. They are called vichakshanas, right? So, vichakshana means, basically the word vichakshana means one who has got the expertise or skill in that, yeah? So, pandidaha, prahustyagam vichakshana. In other words, they know the secret of karma. They know the secret of karma. And they are saying, sarva karma phala tyagam. Prahustyagam vijakshana. That's a very important verse. Even though we will just read it, and you will say, this is the translation and this is the... That's no good. You have to understand where it's coming from. Kamyanam karmanam nyasam sannyasam kavayo vidu. So, first of all, sannyasi becomes a sannyasi only if he is in the free from kamya karma. If he has any kamya karma he is doing, he is not a sannyasi. And this kamya karma means with some motive behind it. So how many sannyasis are there like that? Look at the world, you can see yourself. You have to be very, very precise on these things. There is no question of, he's a nice person, so he's a good sannyasi. Or he's speaking nicely, so he's a good friend of mine, so he's a good sannyasi. You don't become a good sannyasi like that. Kamyanam karmanam yasam. Is that there in him? Sannyasam kavayo vidu. Only then he is a proper sannyasi. And that sannyasi who has done that free from kamya karma, practiced that, and he has got the inner secret of that means this is no good for me, this karma, And that way gradually all the desires are gone from inside, and with that his karmam also has finished. Sarva karma phala tyagam prahus tyagam yakshana. And that is called tyagam. Krishna is saying there. So if you keep thinking about that verse in detail, you will understand the glory of sannyasam. Sannyasam is not an ordinary state. Yeah. So he's saying here, by the time this happens, what is the situation with that? Both kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam has gone from him. Which is the very fundamental of karma yoga. Is it not? Kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, both has left him. Right? So, and this can only happen through proper knowledge. That is why Krishna has spoken that karma yoga so much in detail for 5-6 chapters. Right? So, if you say to someone to give up all the karma and all the results, means that this kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam must have completely gone from him. And so this tyagam, sannyasam and all that is not for others' benefit, right? It is for our own benefit, right? And that is why it is important to understand that verse. Kamyanam karmanamyasam sannyasam kavayo vidu sarva karma phalatyagam rahustyagam vichakshana. Again, kamya karma one should understand from other karma. Kamya karma is allowed for grahasthas as long as it is not causing problem for others. Because kamya karma is a part of grahastha life. So first one has to come out of kamya karma. And then if you are doing karma without kamam behind it, without desire behind it, then you are a sannyasi. If you are doing karma without kamam behind it, then it is sannyasi. And after doing that karma in that way for a longer period of time, you will start realizing the importance of becoming free from the results of that karma. And that in that process, sarva karma bhalatyagam, you are giving up all karma after that. And he is called vijakshana. He becomes a vijakshana. So we'll discuss that verse next Tuesday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Yes, dear Prabhuji. Srila Prabhupada.